Everyone. It's good to see you, friends. Call you friends because we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Together. I'll get to know some of you much better then. And we'll tell all our stories about this life. Don't for a moment think that heaven is going to be boring. And don't think for a moment that heaven is going to be impersonal. I mean, in the Bible, you get lots of things telling you about the future. We can't work out exactly when it will happen. But the Bible tells us what it will be like. The enemies of God, their names get blotted out. But those that God takes into His kingdom, their names are remembered. That's why we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, his name is forgotten. But Lazarus is Lazarus. And Kim will be Kim. Maybe I'll get a new name in heaven. Just so that it's the only one. That's how committed God is to us. That He has made us unique and special. And His relationship with us is personal. And so there won't be any confusion in heaven. You won't have to say, I'm looking for that pastor who used to be in Madagascar. Kim, the South African Kim, not the Korean Kim. You won't get the wrong one by accident. The point I'm making is that heaven is personal. We don't just go join a big spirit in the sky. Like some New Age philosophy. Where they say we just become one big consciousness. See, the fact is we will never be God. We will never be God. We don't become some divine consciousness after this life. But what does happen? Well, that's what I want to speak about today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. We want to have joy in our hearts in every area of our lives. And when we speak about death, we pray that You would open our eyes, that You have overcome death, and that You are alive, and You live forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Last week I started by talking about death and funerals. And I'm using death and funerals as one example of how our theology affects what we do. Before Christ, we saw things a certain way and we did things a certain way. But when Jesus comes, He sets us free. And we leave behind some things. Because our views change. I could go on with the theme by examining how we care for the poor.
Our theology must affect how we care for the poor.
Teologia noa no tokony mibaiko ny fomba fikarakarana ny mahantra.
Or I could talk about how we do business.
Na afaka miresaka koa ahoana fomba fanaovantsika ny asa mandraharahantsika.
We must do business differently because we have different theology from the world.
Mila hafa ihany koa fomba fanaovantsika ny asa mandraharahantsika satria ny teologia tsika miavaka amin'ny an'izao tontolo izao.
Or how we build our marriages.
Na ihany koa ahoana fomba fananganantsika ny fanambadintsika.
How husbands and wives relate to one another is changed by our theology. In the Jewish culture, I've mentioned it before, the men were superior to the women. Women were almost traded like possessions at one point in their history. But Jesus came and he showed that God's heart is that man and woman are equal in value. They have different roles to play. One is a man, one is a woman. It's obvious there are differences. But not differences in value. So when you build a Christian marriage, based on the Bible, it's going to look different to every other kind of marriage. Because our theology fashions our practice. And so I'm just using death and funerals as one example. Some people think, Kim, you chose a morbid theme, a dark theme. Why death and funerals? Because Jesus has changed my view of death. I'm not afraid about it. It is not a hopeless and a helpless situation. It is not all dark and somber and morbid. That's why I chose death and funerals as a topic. Not everyone will get married anyway. But every one of us will die.
And
so you should be able to relate to this theme well. And as we look at scripture, it must shape how we think about this. To discuss how theology transforms culture asks a question. How much have we been changed by the gospel? If there's no external change, then there's no internal belief. It's kind of like what James was saying about faith. When we read James, he says that faith without works is not faith. Your belief must change what you do. So using how a society buries their dead as an example, I want us to think about how theology shapes our practice. Let's have a look at some examples. Different societies. Different times in history. How did Egyptians bury their dead? Well, we only know how they buried the important people.
Then if that's the fusion, and we knew and Jinayantam Nizren, if that's the one of Manandi Venanazren,
they built great pyramids.
Then an abortion is a pyramid that you have
complicated structures.
Then away a rafter, then away a sartre.
They took decades, even hundreds of years to build those things.
Some poor slaves lived their whole life just moving blocks of stone.
De misy andevy mahantra tsely amin'ny teo amin'ny fianaray manontolo izy dia mitona vato fotsy manamboatra an'iny.
Just so they could take their king's body and preserve it in their temple.
Mba ahafahan' izy ireo maka ny vatana mangatsiakan'ny mpanjakany ho alefa ao amin'iny toerana iny dia ao ny andevenana azy.
And they took their great men.
De nalaina izy ireo ny tena lehilahy maheriny.
And they wrapped up their bodies to preserve them.
De nalaina izy ireo ireny de finosana ny vatana mangatsiaka dia ohatrany hoe tehirizinao.
And they took treasures and gold and riches and put it there with the body.
De maka ry zareo fananana volamena maro samihafa apetraka miaraka amin'iny vatana mangatsiaka iny any.
And in India,
de tany enda,
until the gospel came to India,
mandrapatonga filazan'ny tsara tonga tany any,
in certain areas they had another practice.
De any amin'ny faritra hafa any de misy fomba fanao hafa.
They would burn somebody who died.
De ny an-dry-zareo dorana rehefa maty ohatra ny olona anankiray.
They would create all these sticks and stone and build up.
Angolona daholo ohatra ny kitay rehetrarehetra de avy eo apetraka eo amboniny eo.
Put the body there.
Apetraka eo amboniny ny vatana.
Set it on fire.
De avy eo apiretina.
And that sounds reasonable.
De ohatrany hoe ara zany tsy mampaninina.
But then what else they did was shocking.
Fa zavatra manaraka ataon'izy ireo avy eo tena manafitoana.
The wife,
ny vadiny le maty le ramatoa vadiny le maty,
sit with her husband's body,
alefa mipetraka eo ambonin'ny vatana mangatsiaka an'le rangahy vadiny iny,
and burn herself to death in the same place.
Torana miaraka amin'ny le vatana mangatsiaka an'le vadiny ao.
It's how they pleased the people for the afterlife.
Zay no nieritreretin'zareo hoe ahafahana hoe mahatonga an'le fanahiny efa maty iny any tsy anangatra an'zareo intsonony.
The name of that practice is called sati.
De ny anarany fomba fanao iny le antsoina hoe sati.
But when the gospel came,
fa rehefa tonga ny filazantsara,
people were set free from that.
Dia afaka avy amin'izany ny olona.
Their theology changed their practice.
Ny teolojian'izy ireo ny manova ny fomba fanaony.
But it's not only India that's strange.
Fa tsy any enda ihany koa izany hoe hafahafa ohatra izany a.
We island people must consider Fiji.
Fa isika avy eo amin'ny nosy ihany koa mila mieritreritra ny nosy Fiji ohatra.
Fiji is also an island, series of islands.
Ny Fiji ihany koa dia nosy anankiray any.
In Fiji, they thought it would be lonely for you to go into the afterlife on your own.
Any Fiji, and they said, "Let's let them jarre. Lasa yenorere, lasa yirere, no refa matirere."
So if this guy died,
karawata zo matire la anakreti ya.
They would grab a friend at the funeral and strangle him to death. It was part of the ceremony. And sometimes the wife would also be strangled. Because they don't want you to go alone into the afterlife. Anybody want to go to Fiji? I think they've stopped that now. I really hope so. And then of course in Africa, most of Africa, including
Madagascar,
the traditional view was that the ancestors ruled over the living. The dead ancestors had an influence in the lives of the living. So most of the African ceremonies were around pleasing the person who had just died. So they would take the dead person, prepare them, lay them out nicely, and they would gather, and they would mourn. They would pretend to have loved that person so much. They would cry, they would sing. Even if they were in their hearts glad. They didn't like that one. But they must suck up to the ancestor. And they would sing all night long and slaughter some cattle. But you know what I love about Madagascar? If the rest of Africa did it for one day, then we would do three times as much. Just to make sure. And these practices differ all over the world. But they have some things in common. In most cases where people believe in an afterlife, they do things that are supposed to influence the person's afterlife. Either to make that person's life better, or to appease that person who would make their lives better. They were afraid the person would come back to haunt them. When I was a child, I was afraid of that. We had stories about ghosts. There was this house in the middle of a field. And there was a chair in the house. But no one lived in that house. Everyone knew it was a haunted house. And one person had taken a photograph once of this empty room. But in the chair you could see a spirit in the photograph. It was just stories. Full of fear. And mystery. But that's how we grow up. Our view of death starts out full of fear and mystery. So if people tell you, you must put coins on the person's eyes, like we see in Nacho Libre, then we do it. Because we're not sure why, but we don't want to offend the spirits. It's all not scriptural. It's just based on man's traditions and customs. And so these complicated ceremonies, they grew longer and more complicated. The right way to walk, the right direction to face, the right process to follow. But wait. It gets even worse. These practices are based on fear. And they take advantage of the grieving. The hurting, suffering, bereaved ones. They're being told, you must do this. In some places, they are told they must sacrifice all of that person's cattle and burn all of his wealth. And it's wicked. You see, the devil is robbing people of their potential for prosperity. Because each generation's wealth is destroyed with that generation. And what should have been an inheritance stored up for the children is destroyed at a funeral. And we still fall for it. We still do it. In ways when people pressure us, we must spend more on that. We must save up. Some family is saving for years and spending it all on turning the bones. The only one who's laughing is the devil. Because a generation's wealth is being consumed on the dead. And the dead are gone. That's what the Bible is going to show us. And even when my father was buried, I remember my mother agonizing over the cost. We didn't have a lot of money. the coffin. I was there at the funeral. I carried it. With help. They charged you thousands of rands for a coffin. But if you don't buy a good looking coffin, and people talk. I almost want to say, to hell with those people. Get rid of those people. They put you under pressure to spend money on a ceremony. And the size of that ceremony has nothing to do with the heart of the mourning
people.
And even if I spent R1 billion on my father's coffin, I would not make him a bigger man. He was who he was. Nothing can change that. But the devil lies to us. Because he comes to rob and kill and destroy. So all of these views began with people thinking they should either make that person's life better in the afterlife, and largely because they thought that person might come and make their lives better. What does the Bible say? The Bible does not prescribe a right way to bury the dead. The Bible doesn't tell you you have to follow a certain way. But it does tell us how to view death. In the Bible, you find people doing all kinds of different things. But those things don't tell you what you should do. Jesus was put in a tomb. But it doesn't mean we should bury people in a tomb. It's just how they buried people then. Because you remember in Abraham's day, men had many wives. And they had children by their servants. Doesn't mean we should have many wives. The question is, what does God want? Over time, we learn that God wants one man and one woman. And over time, we discover God does not want us to view death the way the world does. And they had slaves. There are even laws about how to treat your slave. It does not mean God wants slavery. God wants people to be free. So when we go to the Bible, we're asking, how does God view death? When it comes to how we view death, we should move towards the position of how God views death. The transition from earth to heaven should be with the least difference. Like in our worship. If we worship conservatively and quietly with no passion, and then we get to heaven and discover they're having a party. Loud singing and dancing and joy. What a shock. What a surprise. Lord, I'm a respectable man. I don't worship like that. That's wrong. We should worship on earth the way we'll worship in
heaven.
We worship passionately here because we will worship passionately there. And we should view death here the way we will view death
there.
This is the point of building your life on the Word of God. It is His unchanging Word which is ultimately true. Every other tradition made by man is passing. But His Word will never pass away. So you can bury the dead an infinite number of different ways. But the question is, does the way you bury the dead reflect your theology? Or is it just an inherited tradition? And that can apply to every other area of our lives.
Too.
So a couple of points quickly. The Bible shows that preserving the body is irrelevant. Honoring the person at the funeral is fine. But trying to preserve the body is irrelevant. Let's look at Genesis 2:7.
It
says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. In Genesis 3:19, dust you are and to dust you will return. So, of course, it means no matter how hard you try, the body will decompose. Psalm 90:3 actually says, God turns men back to dust. And Ecclesiastes 3:20, it says, all go to the same place, all come from dust, and to dust all return. So the body is going to decompose. So whether I decompose fast or slow, I don't have to
worry.
I hope that I fertilize some soil well somewhere. Maybe some good flowers can grow. It doesn't matter if you get blown to dust by an atomic bomb. It is irrelevant. Man is not able to stop God from raising the dead. You could dissolve in water. God will still raise you from the dead. But the Bible teaches from dust to dust in terms of the body. So what is our theological response then? Christians put bodies in the ground. In a coffin or not in a coffin? Doesn't matter. Wrapped or not wrapped, it doesn't matter. You just put your body in the ground as an acknowledgement of the Word of God that says from dust to dust. We don't mind if the body is cremated for that reason. Because it's just accelerating the process. From dust to dust. We do not worship the body. Because there is one God. And the body will never become a God. And its spirit will never become a God. So we don't have to revere or worship the body. The body is not the person. It's a temporary house, an earthly tent. We do not enshrine it and we do not try to preserve it, we let it go. But we do extend dignity to how we handle dead bodies. For the sake of the living. For the sake of the living. Not for the dead person. But for the sake of the grieving. We show respect. But for the sake of the living. But the body. Into the ground. Dust to dust. Whether we take 3 days or 3 weeks to mourn, doesn't matter. The body doesn't have to be there. Some people in their hearts grieve for months after someone dies. You do whatever you need to do. To grieve. But it does not require a custom. This is important. Because it's the way you can build your own custom. Based on theology rather than ancient traditions. Secondly, the Bible shows we receive a new body from the old. There is a resurrection. God gives us new bodies from the old. And Daniel 12 says that multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake.
Daniela tu kfaru befulu andin faru de wen marza efa natura any amin'ny vovotany de ifo indray.
Some to everlasting life and others to shame and everlasting contempt.
Sasany ho amin'ny fiainana mandrakizay ary ny sasany ho amin'ny famenarana mandrakizay.
And then 1 Corinthians 15 tells us more. Can
you read that? De Korintianina voalohany toko fadimy amby folo aloha raha tsika sokafana aloha amin'ny Korintianina voatoko voalohany a.
Looking at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 35 all the way to 57. Go for it.
Fa isy anao hoe atao ahoana ary ny fananganana amin'ny maty ary tena manao ahoana no isehoany ry adala izay fafinao tsy ho velomina raha tsy maty aloha ary izay fafinao no tsy dia ny tenany izay ho avy no hafafinao fa ny vofotsiny ihany na voambary na vohafa. Fandriamanitra manome azy tena araka izay sitraky ny fony, ary ny voany rehetra dia samy omeny ny tenany avy. Tsy mitovy ny nofo rehetra, fa hafa ny an'ny olona, ary hafa ny nofon'ny biby, ary hafa ny nofon'ny vorona, ary hafa ny any hazan-drano. Ary misy tenany any an-danitra, ary misy tenany ny etỳ an-tany. Fa hafa ny voninahitry ny any an-danitra, ary hafa ny any etỳ an-tany. Hafa ny voninahitry ny masoandro, ary hafa ny voninahitry ny volana. Ary hafa ny voninahitry ny kintana, fa ny kintana anankiray dia hafa voninahitra noho ny kintana anankiray. De toy izany koa ny fitsanganany maty. Afafy amin'ny fahalovana izy, atsangana amin'ny tsy fahalovana. Afafy amin'ny fahafaham-boninahitra izy, atsangana amin'ny voninahitra. Afafy amin'ny fahalemena izy, atsangana amin'ny hery. Afafy tena araka amin'ny fomba naina izy, atsangana ho tena araka amin'ny fomba panahy. Raha misy tena araka amin'ny fomba naina, de misy araka amin'ny fomba panahy koa. Ary araka izany koa ny voasoratra hoe, Adama voalohan-dana natao mananainy. Adama farany natao fanahy mahavelona. Anefa tsy izay amin'ny fanahy ny voalohany, fa izay amin'ny mananaina dia vao izay amin'ny fanahy. Ny olona voalohany avy amin'ny tany dia tany, ny olona faharoa dia any an-danitra, dia avy any an-danitra. Izay amin'ny tany dia tahakilay amin'ny tany, ary izay any an-danitra dia tahakilay any an-danitra. Ary toy ny tondrantsika ny endriky ny amin'ny tany no hitondrantsika ny endrikilay any an-danitra koa. Fa izao no lazaiko, ry rahalahy, ny nofa mandratsy mahazo mandova ny fanjakan'Andriamanitra, ary ny fahalovana tsy mandova ny tsy fahalovana. Indro zava-miafina no ambarako aminareo, tsy hodimandry avokoa isika rehetra, fa vetivety toy ny indray mpimaso, rehefa maneno ny trompetra farany, dia ovana isika rehetra, fa ho tsofina ny trompetra, ary maty atsangana tsy ho lo intsony, ary isika ovana. Fa ity mety lo ity tsy maintsy hitafy ny tsy fahalovana, ary ity mety maty ity tsy maintsy hitafy ny tsy fahafatesana. Fa rehefa mitafy ny tsy fahalovana ity mety lo ity, ary mitafy ny tsy fahafatesana ity mety maty ity, dia ho tanteraka ny teny voasoratra hoe, ny fahafatesana no resena kalevona. Ry fahafatesanao, aiza ny fandresenao. Ry fahafatesanao, aiza ny fanondronanao. Fa ny ota ny fanondrona ny fahafatesana, ary ny lalàna no herin'ny ota. Fa isaorana ny Andriamanitra, izay manome antsika ny fandresena amin'ny alalan'i Jesosy Kristy tompontsika.
This is a fantastic and exciting hope.
Io tena fanantenana manentanentana sy lehibe.
If I was crippled in this life,
zany raha mikatringa tety amin'ity fiainana ity,
I won't be in the next.
Any amin'ny fiainana manaraka zany tsy mikatringa intsony.
If I was slow in this life,
raha ohatra tety amin'ity fiainana ity le miadana be reny,
maybe in the next I'll have wings, I don't know.
Ngamba le any amin'ny fiainana manaraka mety misy elatra tsy fantatro.
Paul says we don't know what bodies we receive.
Paul dia milaza tsy fantatsika koa reo no vatana manahoana na tena manahoana no raisintsika.
But they will be glorious.
Fa zao no lazainy ho be voninahitra.
Glorious.
Be voninahitra.
We look forward to the resurrection.
Zany hoe izay mahatonga anao manantena ianao amin'ilay hoe fitsanganany tena maty.
God makes all things new.
Andriamanitra anavaon'ny zavatra rehetra.
And the fear of death is addressed here.
Dia eo ihany koa le fahafitahorana ny fahafatesana dia tena hoe atoerina eo.
Jesus reigns over death.
Jesosy manjaka manoloana ny fahafatesana.
The sting of death is sin.
Ny mahatonga ny fahafatesana dia ny ody.
And Jesus has overcome.
Ary Jesosy efa nandresy.
We no longer fear death because our sins have been atoned for.
Izany hoe tsy matahotra ny fahafatesana intsony ianao satria ny otanao efa voavelona.
So what does this do for us?
Ka inona ny vokatra izany amintsika?
It changes our view of death.
Manova ny fomba fijerintsika ny fahafatesana.
Death is not the end.
Ny fahafatesana tsy ny no farany a.
Death is not to be feared.
Ary ny fahafatesana ihany koa tsy tokony ho atahoranao.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Fa ny fahafatesana efa noresena lasa fandresena ho antsika.
And we look forward to glory.
Ary amin'ny fahafatesana iny no ahafahanao mandaha manantena ianao avy eo ny voninahitra lehibe.
So when I die,
ka noho izany rehefa maty aho,
you can grieve because you miss me for a while.
Afaka malahelo nareo na misaona satria mety alahelo kely anay ihany nareo fa fotoana vitsy fotsiny.
But you celebrate.
Fa mankalazay ihany koa.
Because I know Jesus.
Satria zako mahalala an'i Jesosy.
And I have gone on to bigger and better things.
Ary lasa any amin'ny toerana tsara kokoa sy lehibe kokoa.
I've been freed from the sin of this world.
Zany hoe no afahana feno avy amin'ity izao tontolo ity aho.
And taken up into glory. And when Jesus comes back, I'll get a new body. A glorious and fitting body. Another point. The Bible says that when we die, our spirits go.
Ny Baiboly ihany koa dia milaza fa rehefa maty isika dia lasa ny fanahintsika.
We won't read the scriptures, you know them well.
Tsy ovatitsika ny soratra masina io fa mino ny akamaroanareo fa malala azy a.
When Jesus was with the thief on the cross.
Rehefa Jesosy niaraka tamin'ilay mpangalatra teo ambonin'ny hazo fijaliana.
And the thief said, Jesus, remember me.
Dia zao lazainy ilay mpangalatra teo ambonin'ny hazo fijaliana, Jesosy, tsarovy aho.
When you come into your kingdom.
Rehefa tonga ao amin'ny fanjakanao ianao.
And Jesus says, I tell you the truth.
Dia hozy Jesosy hoe lazaiko aminao tokoa ny marina.
Today you will be with me in paradise.
Anio ny iohananao amiko any paradisa.
At once.
Indre mandeha
tamin'io. The thief dies.
Vo maty le mpangalatra.
His spirit goes to be with God in paradise.
Dia fanany mandeha miaraka amin'Andriamanitra any paradisa.
Doesn't hover around the earth.
Fa tsy akorely iny fa lasa matotoa mandeha
any an-tany. Looking for people to.
Mitady olona ho ampitahorana.
It's gone to be with the Lord.
Lasa makany an-danitra.
Or as we read from the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was in a place of suffering. Torment. And he could not come back to warn his brothers.
De izy ara tsy afaka niverina akory hoe izy mba nangata koa hiverina ety an-tany mba ampilaza an-dalàna tsy afaka akory.
But when this life is over, it's over.
Fa rehefa vita ty fiainana ity dia vita izay.
You can't come back.
Tsy afaka miverina ianao.
Revelation 6.
Apokalipsy toko fahaenina.
Speaks about the martyrs.
Dia miresaka ny amin'ireo martio.
And they call out to the Lord, how long until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood.
De remartura raan remartiro de otrany mitaraina amin'Andriamanitra mandra-parovina no afahanao Andriamanitra mitsara an'ireo izay namono anay.
In Revelation they are seen at the altar of God.
Zany ao amin'ny Apokalipsy de nifanahan'ireo olon'ireo de hita eo amin'ny altaran'Andriamanitra.
The souls of the martyrs.
Nifanahan'ireo martio.
And the response is,
then valten de zao.
Wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed are, until that's completed. The point is that when you die, you don't lie in some suspended state. You go to be with the Lord. The effect on our Christian practice is that we have peace about those who died in the Lord. And an expectation that we will meet them again one day. And we have regret for those who did not know
Jesus.
But there are no prayers for the dead.
Fa tsisy tsony hoe afaka mbola mivavaka ianao ho an'ny olona efa maty.
No prayers for the dead.
Tsisy vavaka ho an'ny olona efa maty.
Because it's appointed to men once to die.
Satria indray mandeha ihany na nindrena ny olona ho faty.
And then to face judgment.
Dia avy eo aorianan'izay sy dia mandalo fitsarana.
This means if you want to tell someone you love them,
dikan'izany raha ohatra tianao tenena ny olona anankiray hoe tianao izy,
tell them today. You can't tell them after they die. You don't pray to the dead. You don't pray for the dead. So do what you need to do in this life. And then when someone dies, in the Lord, we have a great hope that we see them again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It teaches us not to be silly about death. Sets us free from superstitions and fears. And gives us a glorious hope. And also convinces us of the need to share your gospel. So that even those who today don't know you may come to know you and be with us in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.